Praise the Lord. Praise the Father. Nothing compares. Lord, we thank you today. Father, as I open your word this morning, our hearts are wide open, Jesus. Speak to us, Lord. Heal us. Complete us. Thank you for the cross, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for salvation, God. Thank you for your kingdom. Thank you for light. Thank you for coming and show us the way. You are the way, Jesus. You are the life. You are the truth. You are it. And this morning we thank you that you did not wait for us to come to you, but you did come to us, Lord. We receive you again, God. We give you room. We make room in our midst for you. I give you room in this church. I give you room in my heart. I give you room in my home. I give you room in my marriage. I give you room in my relationship with my children. I give you room in this church, God. We invite you, Holy Spirit. You are so welcome to heal us, to teach us, to rebuke us, to correct us, to show us how to live a godly life. We believe your word today, Father, as I speak it. May it find good soil. In Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people say, amen. Hallelujah. Well, kingdom greetings. You know, Good Friday brought Easter Sunday. He's risen. He's alive. I tell you, this is there's nothing like it. The title of my message this morning is Believing in Your Heart That God Raised Jesus from the Dead. Believe in your heart. And some of my key verses, I'm going to be talking from Romans chapter 9, verse 30, and Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to 10. We won't have time this morning, but my homework to you, for you, I'd encourage you to go today or the rest of the week, read Romans chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11. You know, earlier we read the story, you know, we just pick some spot, some part of the story of the crucifixion that I thought that was very powerful. I encourage you, read it again. Today is a day that reminds us that, hey, God did it. I told you guys Friday night, in our religion, Christianity, of course, is a religion. Jesus, God our Father, is the only God that came to us. He died. He rose again. And he's coming back. You know, today gives us the hope that even when we will die physically, we'll live again. You know, and this is not just a fake story. This is reality. This is what it says in Romans chapter 9, verse 30. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. It says, what shall I say? What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith, verse 31. But Israel pursued the righteousness of the law, pursued the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but added it as it were by the works of the law. For they stumble at that stumbling stone, as it is written, verse 33. Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. And whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. There's a verse in the gospel where Jesus said, blessed are the one who is not offended by me. You know, the Bible is very offensive. If you read the Bible, if you read God's word, if you have the God's word is like this, you know, this finger, right? God's word is also like this doctor. You know, God's word doesn't point his finger to condemn us. He point fingers to heal us, to lift us up. God's word never brings condemnation. Okay? All right? So this, I'm going to explain what I just read. But let's go to chapter 10, verse 1. It says, brethren, Paul's talking, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. How many people do that? They do have a zeal for God, but it's just a religious zeal. You know the zeal? We have experienced last year. Was it last year we've experienced one dude who decided to come here and told us what, the way we were doing communion wasn't the right way? Doing the service. He's just like, hey, you guys are not using unleavened bread. He said, how come women are speaking in your church? We have no idea where he came from. Just like the Pharisees, right? They have a zeal. This is what Paul's talking about. He says, man, guys, Jesus came in the midst. Jesus came for his people. They missed him. Oh, I pray that as you continue to live your life on this earth, you would not miss what God is doing. Do not miss the work of Jesus. I pray you don't miss it. Don't let religion put you in a box so you miss what God is doing all over the earth. That's what Paul's talking about. He said, I know my fellow kinsmen, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness. Like there's another verse in Colossians that says, Paul says, you know, don't listen to. So it says, for being ignorant, verse 3, for being ignorant of God's righteousness, they seek to establish their own righteousness. Have not submitted to the righteousness of God. This morning, as we celebrate Easter, submit to the righteousness of God. Nothing you can do to earn God's grace. Would you accept this? You know, sometimes as human, right, we like to do things. You know, you like to, just like you like to work for your wages, all right? You know, it's like, I've done this. You take pride in knowing, I built this, or I built this house. I've done this. Let me tell you again today. Thank you, brother. You don't have to do anything. Check, check. This work? That's good. You don't have to do anything to earn God's grace. And this is what Paul's talking about right here. He says, men, they have failed to submit to God's righteousness. Verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. Verse 6. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, not in your head, but in your heart. This tells me, it's not enough to know God's word in your head. Because God's word in your head won't change your behavior. God's word in your head won't change. You know, have you ever seen those doctors who knows, they actually tell people not to smoke and they go out for a smoke break? I don't get it. This is what it's talking about here. It's not enough to know the word in your head. For God so loved, oh yeah, John 3:16. I've grew up in Bible Sunday school. For God so loved the world that he gave. It's not enough. And still today, this verse 10, the word is in your mouth. The word is near you. Listen to it. In that verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus, see here, the word Lord is from the Greek means Adonai, which means owner. And I told you already, us Americans, we don't like, I mean, it's like talking about owner. Nobody owns me. I'm free. You know, free speech, free to be, free to go everywhere, free. But let me tell you this, to really experience the fullness of Jesus, to really experience the fullness of the power of that raised Christ from the dead, he's got to own you. You need to deny yourself. You cannot fully encounter Jesus with you in the driver's seat. Get over to the passenger seat of your life, of your will, and let him drive. Then you'll have a testimony. Surrender. That's what it's talking about here. That if you confess with your mouth that the Lord, the word Lord, underline that in your Bible. Lord means owner. If you confess, if you believe, if you accept Jesus as your master. And if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that's it. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. How many of us here believe that? I know that's a funny question. It's like, come on, Pastor, you already know. I know. We all believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Amen? That's why we're celebrating today. It says, if you do, you will be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. I want you to enter a new season. Starting today, stop striving to earn God's grace. My prayer for us as a congregation and for you that are watching online is that we would really experience the power that rose Christ from the dead. Not that when one day you will rise again from the dead when we all die, all right? And some of us, not all of us will die. I was having a really nice conversation with Alyssa last night. You know, maybe today would be the day. And then we're like, well, we don't know. What? You don't know. So therefore, I'm always ready. Are you ready? Because we don't know the day, the time, the hour. The Lord will return. So therefore, your backpack must be always ready. With the heart, one believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession. He's made unto salvation. You see, this morning, one of my main purpose is to clarify these two verses. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, and Romans chapter 9, verse 30. It says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. I believe, the more I read this last week, I was just getting excited about this verse. Because this is what I find out again. This verse needs clarification because Satan believes God raised Jesus from the dead. The demons believes. You know, Luke chapter 4, verse 34. Luke chapter 4, verse 41. Luke 28, verse 28. A lot of verses in the Bible talks about it. It says, again and again and again and again, Satan's demonic forces, every time they would encounter Jesus, they would say, well, you are the Son of God. So they had the head knowledge. They knew. Satan knows Jesus is alive. And Satan knows what's coming for him. You know? So he's like, well, you know what? I'm already a lost case, so therefore I got to take down as many as I can with me. I'm going to bring down with me as many as possible. But this is a scary thing. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. Not everyone who says, Lord, see, I don't know your heart. And there's no pointing finger. When I'm talking about pointing finger, no judgment. God knows your heart. Is he your Lord? Is he the master of everything you do? Is he? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So everyone is facing with this, what I call a very important question this morning. That question is like goes like this. I think I have it for the screen, if you could put it up, Xavier. Is my acknowledgement of Jesus as Lord and my conviction that God raised him from the dead like Satan's conviction? I mean, it leads Satan to destruction. Satan's acknowledgement of Jesus that who rose from the dead will lead Satan to destruction. That acknowledgement means nothing to him. Or is it like Paul? No, let him be. Jesus said, from the mouth of the babes shall come praise. Let him be, all right? Don't shh him. I know, if he's getting louder, you know what to do, but it's all good. So is your acknowledgement of Jesus raised from the dead is leading you to salvation? You see, and my goal this morning is that every one of us here or out there who will hear this will rejoice in their confidence that God raised Jesus from the dead, and that by this confidence you will just assure yourself in your salvation. Guys, there are people who are in church that are not saved. Are you saved? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Because if you don't, it doesn't matter. I mean, the church could be full packed. We have no more room. We have to build a bigger building. That's not my priority. The priority is to make sure that everyone that walks in here or hear the gospel, they know you can't be messing around borderline. There's no borderline in the kingdom. You're either in or you're out. And the Bible says, who will tell them? How will they hear if we don't tell them? It would be a sad thing for me to just teach your head. Or every time you go to church, they're trying to appease to you, tell you the message that just makes you feel good. Repentance from your sin, that's like kind of a rebuking message. Repent of your sin. If you have sin in your life, repent. If you're doing things you're not supposed to do, repent. If you have enemies, go. I mean, sometimes you can't help them. But keep your heart open. Forgive them because what? Jesus has forgiven us. Let them go. Release them. My goal and my other goal, I want to move your heart out from the category of people that are just believing or they're saying Jesus is Lord in their mouth. I want to bring your heart. I'm making an appeal to your mind for the sake of your heart. Do you believe? Yes, you do believe. For the sake of your heart? The appeal is for the sake of your heart. For the sake of your salvation. I told you I don't have time for us to read Romans chapter 9, the whole chapter, chapter 10 and chapter 11. So I put a little resume, I compacted a little bit I'm just going to read this. This is what happened in Romans chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11. And when you read the Gospels, you realize, man, Jesus came in their midst and they missed it. They missed the Savior. As a matter of fact, some of the Pharisees, they said, well, you from the devil. They were so religious. They were worrying about the disciples eating with their hands, not washed, unwashed, when really their inside was full of bitterness. Their inside was full of greed. Their inside was full of idolatry. You see, I'm going to try to provide some help in understanding Romans chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11. In its large biblical context, behind Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11 lies a practical theological problem that Paul, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, was trying to solve. 2,000 years before Christ, God has chosen Abraham, the father of the Jews. He promised to be his God, to make Abraham a great nation. I mean, from his posterity, to make great nations, to give him land and all that, you know, a lot of the promises we read from Genesis chapter 11, chapter 12, chapter 11, 12, 13, you guys can go figure it out. All Abraham and his descendants had to do to enjoy God's promises was to believe and obey. So God, just think about it. God made all these promises to Abraham. And he said, I only need you to do two things. What? Trust and obey. For there's no other way to take advantage of God's promises. You must trust and obey. That's it. And you guys, you know the rest of the story. I mean, years God tried to establish relationship with the people. You remember the story of the temple? We had three different compartments in the temple, the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies, only one priest could go in once a year with the sins, sacrifice for the sins, the rest of the people. God did try. And then came the Israelites who were enslaved for years in Egypt. And you know what God did. Finally, God and Jesus was having a conversation up there. And then they said, there's no other hope. There's only one thing that can happen. I don't know if it was God who volunteered Jesus or Jesus said, you know, Father, why don't I go? That's one question when we go to heaven we can ask them. Because we don't know, do we? We don't know. But the Bible says in John 3:16, God is so in love with us. He says there's only one way. Sacrifice doesn't do it anymore. The blood of bulls, the blood of goats, the blood of sheep only covers the sin. But he said, Jesus, won't you go? Jesus said, I'm going to go, Father. And then we read it earlier. When the moment came, Jesus said, Father, is there another way? Man, I'm really seeing this. I'm going to get beat up for the sin of the world. And the Pharisees, the people at that time, thought Jesus came to contradict the law. But we all know the message of the New Testament is the same as the message of the Old Testament. Jesus came to accomplish the law. The things we couldn't do to appeal to God or to approach to God. Jesus came saying, guess what? You don't need none of that. Nothing you can do. You just come. Come to the Father. And that's what I want you to remember today. You always have access to God. Satan wants to keep you in chain, in bondage, in your mind, in the deeds of darkness, in your past. You know, the crazy thing is sometimes it's hard to let go of your past. Let go of your past. Jesus is not holding it. His blood covers. I like this, Romans chapter 10, verse 4. It says, from the Passion Translation, it says, for Christ is the end of the law. And because of him, God has transferred his perfect righteousness to all who believe. How many people believe? Let me read this again. For Christ is the end of the law. 613 laws to follow. No one could do it. Jesus came and he said, that's enough. It is finished. Remember? It is. He says, Father, why have you forsaken me? But Christ, for Christ is the end of the law, and because of him, God has transferred Christ's perfect righteousness, or God is perfect righteousness to all who believes. That's why we do not look at people according to their past or to their inner humanness. Give people room to be human. Man, I tell you, last week PK preached a message. I don't know if you went and listened to it again. That actually spoke to my heart. What is it up to you? It's not our place to judge people. Before you try to take the little spark out of the eyes of your brother, take out that big plank and leave Aaron Plank alone. Brothers and sisters, Christ does not contradict the law. He came to accomplish it. This morning, it's a great time for us to remember we have direct access to him. And Paul made that so clear. The message of the law and the message of Christ are essentially the same message. The more I think about this, I realize, wow, you know, Israel had a big problem. Their big problem was they reject the Messiah. Christ does not contradict the law. The message of the law and the message of Christ are the same. Righteousness by faith. You are righteous by faith. Believe it. And now, this is the story of the women that they caught in adultery. What did Jesus say to her? He said two things to her. He said, "Women, where are those that were condemning you?" And she looked up. She says, "Well, I think they're gone." And he told her, "Now, go and sin no more." This is it. If God is shining his light on your life, you repent from something, go and sin no more. If you feel weak in that area, find accountability. That's why you cannot live the gospel by yourself. You know, this whole idea you can serve God behind a screen at home in your PJ, I tell you, sometimes it's nice. I'm not gonna lie to you. It's nice until you're the pastor. You have to come. You know, you have no option. But it is nice. But that's not God's plan. God's plan is for you to grow in a family, to be part of a congregation, to be part of a group who are seeking God together. You know, and this morning, we're gonna close with this. Christ create a good atmosphere for grace. As you receive his grace, encounter his grace, extend grace to others. Give grace to others. When you feel you can't love, let him love them through you. And you're like, "Well, how do you do that, Pastor?" I tell you how to do that. You just do it. Just submit your will to his will. "Well, you know what? I'm dealing with this. I just can't do it." "Well, let me tell you this. You can. I've given you my testimonies before. You can do all things through who? Through Christ who strengthens you." So Alyssa's going to come and sing a song. Come to the Father. And as we sing this song, I'm giving you the opportunity to go in your heart. Just accept God's righteousness again. That's the good news, guys. You know, sometimes it's like our minds want to feel bad. You don't have to feel bad. You don't. The Bible says, if we don't have this hope, we should be pitied. Well, you shouldn't be pitied. Jesus rose again. So you could have life. So you could be excited in him. So all your past could be gone. No time for me to fight with my wife. I tell you, man, I'm going to love her. We're going to disagree, of course. You know, we disagree. But no time for me to go sleep because I'm mad at her. No time for me to be mad at my children. No time for me to be frustrated about the church. No time! Time for you to grow. That's what I'm talking about. It's time for you to believe. Believe in your heart that God raised Christ from the dead. Okay, we got that clear. You believe it. So therefore, experience the power. Experience the power. I love it that Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But I give you my peace. Well, we receive His peace. So as we sing this song, if you feel like you need to come to the altar, if you need prayer, I volunteer Ange and Kendra to... and Aaron and Sam to pray for you. Okay? But Father, thank you for your word today, Lord. Thank you for all you've done. And Lord, as we create an atmosphere, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would just do the work you need to do in each person's heart right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.